As I said earlier on, as when we started our service, I said this is a special week. Jesus traveled on a donkey, not on a Mercedes-Benz or on a limousine, as we would think of such people of high profile. They would come in that same setup, but he rode on a donkey. Wow. A story I want to tell you this morning before I start preaching to you is of a father who sent his two sons to go and remove electrical fittings in a disused building before they demolished the building. So the two boys went there. When they got to the building, they discovered the lights were so high up in the ceiling, there was no way they could get them without the use of a ladder. Because they had traveled a distance, they wouldn't think of going back to their own home to get the ladder. What did they do? They looked around in the neighborhood. They noticed on one of the houses there was a ladder dangling on a chain. So they knocked on the door, and out of the house came a lady, and she asked, "What is your problem?" The boys say, explain their story. So, and they said, "We saw your ladder. Please, can we borrow it? We'll bring it back." Without even asking their identities, the woman willingly gave the ladder to the two lads. I just imagine if the husband would come back and say, "Where's my ladder?" What was the wife going to say? One, she didn't even take the IDs of those two young men. She didn't even know them. But here is one good thing that happened. When the lads had finished taking off the lights, they brought back the ladder. Wow. The moral of that story is the willingness of willing to do something. The lady willingly gave the ladder, disregarding of the consequences that were around herself. Because imagine if the husband was going to say, "Where's my ladder?" What was she going to say? And the two boys, after they had completed their mission, they brought back the ladder willingly. Wow. My theme this morning is, do you have the willing power? Yes? Okay. Good. So today, the story that we have read, we have heard about two willing people who are not mentioned. The only word that we hear, that we are familiar with, is two disciples. Who are they? They are not mentioned by names. In my research, I discovered that there is a purpose for leaving those two disciples unnamed. We'll discover as I go along with you. So here is Jesus' request. The story says, Jesus told his two these unnamed disciples, say, "Go to a certain house. When you get there, there's a colt tied by the door. Go and untie it and bring it to me." The two unnamed disciples didn't even doubt. They went, as Jesus had said. Do we have doubting Thomases here about who Jesus is? This story is telling us that don't doubt who Jesus is. So as the disciples go to that house, they found the colt exactly as Jesus had described. When they were untying the colt, they were approached and asked, why were they doing it? Exactly as Jesus had said. I remember a week or so ago, there was one of us here who gave a testimony of the healing that had happened to him. All things happened in such a simultaneously, like it was a coincidence. But the speaker said, those were not coincidences. He believed in prayer. So also this triumphal entry text, I want you to learn one thing. There are no coincidences in a Christian's life. God has planned it for it to happen that way. Whatever you are going through, God has allowed it to happen. Right? Some of it, you are being tested. You are not being thrown away. God is testing you to make you strong. So there's no coincidence in anything that happens in your life. Please, I beg to differ. There might be others who have other ideas, but I say, and I think, and I believe God has planned each and everyone who is in his life. whatever you're going through, God knows about it. Right. Back to our story about Jesus. Jesus requests for a colt to go and be brought to him. All along, we've read about Jesus. Those of you who read scripture, we've read Jesus on a boat when the disciples were saying, Lord, we're about to perish. Don't you care? He was on a boat. He has been walking on feet. You remember when he was on this journey, as he's leaving Jericho, he's walking on feet. He's not on a car. But why now, when he's about to approach Jerusalem, he thinks of getting a colt? The only reason I think is not that he's tired. He's not. We are not told anywhere that his feet have got blisters because of walking. No. But there's one thing that is happening here, which God has planned, and which was told already in the Old Testament. But these people have already forgotten now. If you go to the book of Zephaniah, chapter 9, it says this. Chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That's prophecy in Zechariah. But these people around Jesus at that time, I think they've forgotten about this. So it's not coincidence. It's God's plans. This was planned. Jesus is going to enter into Jerusalem riding on a colt. This is the day that Jesus is going to show who he is. He is King of Kings. He is the Lord. But all along, and other incidents when Jesus healed, he said, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone that you've been healed. But here, he doesn't stop them. They are shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna! The word Hosanna means save. Why I think, personally, the two disciples are not mentioned by name, it's making it inclusive. All of us. Jesus is sending us right now for his mission. So don't say, oh no, it's not me. So and so has been sent. It says two disciples were asked to go and get a colt. Two disciples are named. Mark doesn't name them. Matthew doesn't name them. Luke doesn't name them. Either John does he name them. They're just disciples. So this invitation is for all of us. Jesus wants a colt to complete his mission. Are you prepared to go and take that colt? I ask you again, do you have the willing power? Let's find out about this story. Go with me to Kings, 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17 in the Church Bible is 358. Page 358. When you are there, I will start reading this story. It's a very familiar story. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have instructed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I might have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, he replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home to make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat and die. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of oil will not be used up, and the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain in the land." She went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Wow. Wow. You see what the willing power can do. Imagine if this woman had said, "Well, I'm prepared to die because there's nothing in the house to eat." But she obeyed the word of the Lord and went and did exactly what the prophet had said she must do. Her supplies never ran dry. If you obey the word of Jesus, my brother, my sister, there's joy. It's better to suffer with Jesus or without Jesus. It's better not to have things with Jesus than having things without Jesus. Because all these things shall come to an end. Wow. Wow. When Elijah spoke to this widow, she showed her willing power to do what she was told to do. And he didn't run out of flour. Do you have that willing power like that widow of Zarephath this morning? If you don't have it, please see me after the service. We'll pray for you so that you have the willing power. Back to our story. Jesus is doing a public act. The two disciples have been sent. Not at night like Thomas did. I gather this is broad daylight. They are going to untie the cord. It's broad daylight. So your witnessing mustn't be something done during the night. It must be done during the day when everyone else is seeing you. Why do you come at night? We don't see you at night. Come during the day and show who is Jesus you believe in. Jesus showed his public act on that day. Because that is the time that is declared even in the scripture. When he is going to be declared Lord, King of Kings. Publicly, Jesus is declaring he is Lord. And even the public also shouts, "Hosanna, son of David." Publicly. The Pharisees, I read somewhere else, they were trying to, they said, "Jesus, can you ask these people to stop shouting? They're making noise." You know what Jesus said? He said, "If they keep quiet, my God will actually make these stones shout." Wow. But this Jesus who is king to you and me, how come he's coming riding on a colt that has never been ridden before? If it was during these days, animal activists will be on his throat and say, "That's animal abuse." Because a colt was never used, ridden before. This colt was not tamed, if I'm right. Before you ride a horse or a donkey, it has got to be tamed first. But this one was not. The point I want to make here, if you are not believing in Jesus, you are untamed. So you need to be tamed. Because Jesus is humble. When that colt got to Jesus, it didn't even throw him off its back. He rode majestically into the city like it has been tamed years ago. But it was not, because Jesus is humble. He's saying this morning to you, "I'm a humble king. Come to me. Accept me as your Lord." So, whatever wild ideas that you have about Jesus, take them away. Jesus will tame you. He wants to tame you today. as he's entering into Jerusalem. Some people took garments, some palm leaves, throwing them on the floor, on the road as he was riding in, showing that he is king. He is the Messiah that we've been waiting for. Maybe only now they realize the prophecy about the coming Messiah. It is at this time the declaration he's making is made. I read somewhere else, it says the waving of palms is a symbol of victory. I read of such story also in Revelation 7, verse 9. The waving of palm leaves is a sign of victory. So Jesus, as he's riding into Jerusalem, it's a sign of victory, because a few days later, he's going to be crucified, conquer death, and rise up again. No wonder these people were waving palm leaves. No wonder these people would take off their jackets, throwing on the road. If you were one of those, were you going to take your jacket off, or you're going to say, no, I'm too smart to do that? Oh, no, I cannot do a public shouting. Hosanna, Hosanna. No, it's embarrassing. What were you in that public gathering? Which position were you taking? Do you have that willing power to say, well, I don't mind what they're going to say. I'm taking off my jacket and throwing it on the road for the King of Kings to ride on it. I'm waving those palm leaves because he is my king. Jesus is humble. He wants you. Jesus is humble. But he wants you to say by your own mouth that he is Lord. Confession. Yesterday when we were doing our lessons, I brought up this verse from Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. It's the confession of your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That is what he's looking for right now, this morning, this Palm Sunday. Are you making that confession that Jesus is Lord? With your own mouth. When we gather here, it's about each individual. Who is Jesus to you? Do you have that willing power to call him Lord and King? God's Son needs what you have. What do you have? I don't have wealth, but I have a voice to proclaim Jesus as my King. I don't have wealth, but I have time to do things for the Lord. I don't have wealth, but I've got joy in me because the Holy Spirit lives in me. The Lord needs you. But do you have the willing power this morning? A story is told of a young lady who was walking along the beach. You know, when the waves are washing to shore, they bring all sorts from in the ocean. So the starfish were stranded by the beach. So this young lady was picking, throwing them back in the water. And a man tried to stop her and said, no, why do you bother yourself? Look, the whole beach is stranded with all the starfish. She carried on. She wasn't discouraged. This one will make a difference. So she carried on picking them. This one will make a difference. The point I am trying to make here is you make a difference in this triumphal entry. Jesus wants you because you make a difference. You are wanted by Jesus. But there is a problem. What is the problem? I've got three things I listed here. One, selfishness. Two, fear of not having enough. Three, false sense of security, always wanted to be surrounded by stuff. Are we like a little boy? I went into Noah's Ark on Friday and I asked for a biscuit from one of the little boys. He wouldn't let go. We are like little boys. When the Lord asks for that what you have, we will say, no, this is mine. No, it's not yours. Give it to the Lord. But the most important thing to find out is, do you have the willing power? I ask. To conclude, this encounter, we saw two men who willingly went to take the colt, putting about with all the risks they had, because this donkey didn't belong to them. It didn't belong to Jesus. It belonged to someone. But they took all the risks to go and tie it, to take it to Jesus. Are you prepared to take such risks for Jesus? Where is your willing power? The multitudes gathered and recognized Jesus as Messiah. They shouted, Hosanna, son of David. The crowd showed Jesus as Messiah and King. What about you? Who do you see Jesus as? Are you able to shout Jesus is Messiah and King? Scripture has proved it that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the King. My question to you this morning is, are you willing to part with what you have for Jesus' sake? Are you willing to be part of that crowd which declared at the expense of those in authority and say, He is Lord? Are you going to shout Hosanna? Are you willing to go and get the coat for Jesus? In the book of Matthew, it says this: the whole city was moved, and they asked, who is this? Are you moved this morning? Who is Jesus? Do you have the willing power? My last request from me is confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, and you will be saved. Let's pray together.